Pastor Nancy Dufresne says, it's not so much you trying to kick the devil completely out of your life as knowing how to live even when he's around. And I mean, you do get him off your stuff. Don't misunderstand me. But he has to watch you eat from the table of God. And so we can be encouraged about that. Amen. Psalm 10:4. Listen in. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Tonight we're going to look at a hard heart. We said we were going to answer some questions tonight, and we gave you cards to ask those questions, and only one person did. So I guess the rest of y'all think you're pretty smart, but no, I'm kidding. But so we're going to answer that question tonight. What was it about Pharaoh's hard heart? How did that work? What's going on with that? Did God do that? Did Pharaoh do it? So we're just going to look at that, and then I'm going to tell you a couple more things that will help us. You know the story of Exodus. You know that Joseph, in the end of Genesis, took his family over into Egypt. And we know that the Hebrews, we'll call them the Hebrews then, they multiplied. And over the years, you know, Joseph helped Egypt get out of trouble. They were in a famine, and he helped the whole world. He got out of trouble with his wisdom. And so while they're in Egypt and not in Canaan land over there, they multiply and they multiply and they multiply and multiply. Well, they go through, I think, three pharaohs at the time. And so by the time they get down the track of the pharaohs, they're so big that they're a threat to the pharaohs because there's so many of them. So they put them in slavery. They capture them. They just put them to work. You all know the story. So Moses' mom, you remember what she does? You remember what Moses means? Means drawn from the water. So Pharaoh is killing baby Hebrews, boys. And Moses' mom is smart enough to put him in a little basket and send him down the Nile there. And Pharaoh's daughter picks him up and takes care of him, and he grows into what we would call a prince of Egypt. And so you know that sooner or later he finds out he's a Hebrew, and you know he does some things, and then he goes out to the backside of the desert. While he's out there, God speaks to him and says, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel from Egypt. So you're caught up in the story that you already know there. It's probably the best known story in the Bible, in the world. That and Abraham, or you know, all sorts of religions read this and know it. So Moses and Aaron, they get set up and they go to see Pharaoh, and they tell him to let God's people go. So we're going to go to Exodus 4:21, and I'm going to show you what was said. Now we're answering the question: What is it about Pharaoh? Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? And how would that work if God actually did that? I mean, then would Pharaoh be innocent? You know what I'm saying? I mean, would he not be guilty of anything? So let's look at that. The Lord said, this is Exodus 4:21, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that all that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I put in your hand, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. So there you go. So it sounds like God's going to do it. So this is the question. What about that? Did he do that? When you read down through the story, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But then you read down in some more scriptures, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Okay. So we seem to be looking at God's hand and Pharaoh's heart. Now, before we dig further down in this, I want to tell you that there are three Hebrew words for harden. I'm just going to tell them to you in English. But the first word means to stiffen. Now, this happened before Moses ever came on the scene with Pharaoh. He was stiff. You understand who he was. See, he's this stiff-necked, cruel human person. He's a selfish dictator. He's a baby killer. Sound familiar? And just get the picture here. Pharaohs, they didn't think they were men. They thought they were gods. They stayed in their Egyptian castle, whatever that looked like. And they didn't act like they're in government or act like they're a king. They felt like they were superior to that. So when you have Moses coming in here and saying that the God of the Hebrews wants you to let his people go, this guy's going, yeah, see? So Exodus 5:1 says, after Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So what's happening is Moses actually wants Pharaoh to let them go for 3 days so that God can test Pharaoh's heart. But he doesn't soften. And he doesn't even let them go. So the first chance to get him to maybe change his mind or soften, he's already not going to do it. He's already hard-hearted. And so the first attempt actually has already failed. So what he does is he makes the people work harder. So not only did he go no, but he says, and just because you ask me, I'll make them more miserable. That's pretty hard. So he has what we call a stubborn heart. So God moves forward and the hardening continues. Now, the second word there means to strengthen. And so the strengthening is, it's a reinforcement in the direction that the person is already going. So when God begins to act, he's getting madder. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that you could be having something going on with someone and they'll just escalate? Even if you start smiling, what are you smiling at? They'll escalate because they're already hard. And they're just going that way. And so there's a strengthening of that. And then the third thing is to make heavy, to deaden. So what's really happening here? Pharaoh already has a hard heart. He thinks he's God and he doesn't want to hear about another God. That's what's going on. Now, so he has a hard heart already. Exodus 10:1 then. It says, Exodus 10:1 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. So now it looks again like God's going to do it. But if you back up a verse, you'll see in Exodus 9:34, when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased. So one of the plagues is, you know, they're already happening here. It says he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. Okay, so which one is it? Is it God doing it? Because here it says again that Pharaoh did it. It says he hardened his heart and his servants. They did too. But can I tell you this? God doesn't sin. Okay? He doesn't sin. Now, we remember that God will not harden Pharaoh's heart against Pharaoh's own desire. You understand that we're all made with a will. And God doesn't go inside you and whirl something up to make you meaner or to make you hard. That's not him. He can't do that. He gave you a will, he gave you a free will, and he gave authority to man and the earth. So he doesn't get into that. He lets us make the decisions whether we want heaven or hell. Does he? Okay. So here we're going down the track, and you can see what's going on here. So it's not as if Pharaoh wished to, that, oh, I really want to have a tender heart, but God's making me mean. No, that's not happening. That's not what's going on here. God won't allow me to show grace. No, no. So God confirmed Pharaoh in his wicked inclination. He's confirming him. Can I tell you that in the beginning he was prophesying to him? Words get mixed up sometimes from Hebrew to English. He's telling him his heart's going to be hard because of what I'm going to do. Because God's going to do something. But it's like this. Watch, I'll make him matter. I'm not doing that to make him matter, but he will, so I'll use it. Okay. Now, he's confirming this, and then Pharaoh reveals his heart when he refuses Moses. And so what God is doing in his power, he's actually, because he's doing these good things, he's strengthening that stubbornness. Not intentionally, but he's doing it. And so he does use it, just to make that clear. Now, so how would God make a cold heart colder? The easiest thing I can tell you is the same sun that melts butter hardens clay. Okay? God's goodness, God's power revealed makes the proud mad. If you can't see that in this world today, it's very clear. God's power, God's goodness, I'll just tell you this, I know who you are thinking of that it's making mad. It's the non-Christians, but even religious people, they get mad about the power of God. I mean, I had some, in the beginning of my ministry, someone said this, she's just trying to give people hope. Okay, you're right. But see how crazy it can get. And so here God is doing these things to deliver, and he's asked for them to set free, but Pharaoh's not going to let it happen because he didn't like this, because he's God. He's proud. He's on the top. And so he's allowing the hardening of Pharaoh. And it's not impulsive or manipulative, and neither is it lessening Pharaoh's guilt. Yeah. It's not doing that. People are fully responsible and fully accountable for their actions and their choices. Everyone on earth is.
That's right.
Once your kids get to a certain age, they're accountable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But God's not going to make you be a mean person. He can't do that. You mean on your own. Are you good on your own? That'll just preach right there. So, you know, simply put, God suffered. As in, you know how Jesus said, suffer the little children to come. And he's not going, oh dear God, the kids are going to have to come near us. He's saying, allow it. Allow it. So God is allowing the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. He's saying, this is how it's going to be because he's doing it. Okay. And every time God did something powerful, it strengthened that hardness. And I know you've seen that in people. I know you have. The plagues start coming. The power of God is revealed. Evil doesn't like it. And so, you see that in some of those places that it says God's doing it, Pharaoh's doing it. I'm telling you, Pharaoh did it and God had to allow it. Okay. So, he is, bearing the permission as he does with all of our wills. Okay. If that's what you're going to do, okay. He's doing it. Now, so basically he was telling, I'm going to say it one more time so it's clear. He's telling Moses that he already has seen the choices that Pharaoh will make. Now, here's something important that you may not know. In Hebrew, the verbs here are conjugations. They're two words. It's pahel and hiphil. And they both are used, they conjugate the verbs, in these sentences. And all they're saying is just what I've been saying to you. We bear permission. You're going to do it. I have to allow it to happen. Where you know how to English conjugate. You have to change certain things to make it mean past, present, and future, you know. And so these things have been overlooked when it gets to the English version. So if you could have written this in the Hebrew way back then, if you could have read this in the Hebrew, it would have just said, Moses, I'm sending you over there, and everything I do is going to make him madder. There's your Texas version right there. All right. Now, I want to say one more thing about it just to lock it down for you so you don't go, well, I don't know. Maybe he, no, we couldn't. But always let scripture interpret scripture. Don't try to go out there and work on this on your own. This is why I don't like private Bible studies or even Bible studies without one particular leader. When you get a bunch of people together and they start reading the scriptures, one of them will say, well, I think this means this. And then the next one will say, I think it means this. And then the next person say, well, I think it means this. And then you have a bunch of confused people. It is better to have a teacher teaching you, and then you decide, you can tell in your spirit whether it's truth or not. So be taught. Keep being taught. Now, I'm not opposed to people getting together in smaller circles, but I'm opposed to them not having a leader in that circle. And I remember that Keith Moore agrees with me on this, because he said he went to a meeting one time and there was a scripture. He really wanted to understand it. And they were sitting around in a circle. Well, it's this and well, it's that. And when he was driving away, he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, Keith, son, do you want to know the truth about that verse? And he said, yes, Lord, I do. He said, well, you're further away from it than you've ever been. Because everybody's opinion of something is not good. And particularly if you're mixing, I'm going to say it this way, I'm not against anyone. You start mixing denominations and groups, everybody's going to have a different opinion. It's okay that they have it. It's theirs. But if you want to grow in the Lord, you really want to watch who's your teacher, and that they stick with what you've learned in the Bible, what you're going toward, and eventually we'll all end up at the same place. And so and you all know this, and I don't mind saying it to anybody listening. We have all grown out of certain denominational teachings. I came from a place where there was no baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there is. I came from a place where they said Jesus didn't heal anymore. Where the gifts of the Spirit didn't work anymore. I found out it was true. So I had to move past that. So there's no reason in me meeting with a group and telling them what I think unless I'm the one that's getting to teach them, or you're the one that's getting to teach them so you can help them. And I'm not trying to be haughty about that. I'm just saying you have more truth there. And there are people who have more truth than we do. And we need to listen, but we need to pick who we listen to. I thank you for that. Two people thought it was good. So anyway, you're going to have to let the Bible interpret itself. So I'm just going to interpret Pharaoh for you right here in 1 Samuel 6:6. And this is what it says. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Okay. When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart? There's the whole thing for you right there. It verifies and tells us that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. The people in Egypt hardened their own heart. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured that God is still good. Amen. He's not mean. He's not doing this to people. It's a matter of getting the language right. It's a matter of getting the interpretation right. It's a matter of reading the whole context. It's a matter of exegesis, going in there and exegeting what goes on in the scriptures to find out what the words all really mean.
Right.
Same thing we found out about shalom. It means so much more. I can't tell you how many people have talked to me about that and are, have gone out and found all this stuff about it. God is good. Now, let's just close up with this. What can we learn from this here? Well, Jesus said over in Luke 6, you don't have to turn there, but he said, both good and evil begin in the heart. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh's responses teach us that about the hardened heart. Now, consider this cause. Pharaoh's heart didn't just happen. Jesus told his disciples that hardness of heart comes from a sinful, unrepentant heart. So what happens is you go along in your life and you live selfish, not you, but a person would live selfishly, do whatever sin they wanted to do, carry on however they want to carry on. And when you do that, you start getting callous.
Yes, ma'am.
You start getting callous into what's right and wrong. And then you don't care. Am I right? This is true. So now he didn't even believe in God. It was real easy for him to be callous and prideful. For us, we don't have to go that way. So the conscience can be desensitized, or it can be what Paul said to Timothy, it was seared. His people's consciences could get seared. Remember that? If you want to look that up, that's 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? Remember how he decided that, I mean, he was disposed because of arrogance. I mean, he got so built up that he wanted to build a statue of himself. He thought he was so great. And the prophet came along and said, you're going to be out for 7 years in the field eating like an animal. And he was, and then he came to himself. But see, he built himself up, so he became an idol to himself.
Yeah, that's right.
And pride will do that to you. That's what Lucifer did. He said, I will ascend higher than God. I'm going to be more important than God. That's what pride does. It lifts up itself higher than the Most High God. So God detests and opposes pride. And that's the thing we need to guard against. Proverbs 16:5, 18, James 4:6-7, they all talk about it there. A hard heart can dull the senses so that people, listen to this, so that you can't understand the truth. Have you ever met people like that? You can't get through to them. They can't understand the truth. Why? Their heart is hard. It's calloused over. They've waited too long. They've built it all. Now, could they get through? You keep praying.
Amen.
You keep believing. You keep loving. It can happen. Wasn't going to happen with Pharaoh, but it can happen to your loved ones. You can get through. And we can stay out of it. The writer of Hebrews warned, do not harden your hearts for a good reason, because a hardened, obstinate, calloused heart it dulls the ability to understand truth. You're just like, oh, well, I don't get that. We don't do that at our church. Well, we don't believe that. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what you mean. But when your heart is soft, you'll go, oh yeah. Yeah, there it is right there. And you can hear God talk to you, and you can hear God correct you. And you'll be going along and he'll go, hey, and you're like, right.
Yeah.
That's the way we want to be. We want to have a soft heart. Amen. When you're hard-hearted, it causes you to resist and disobey God. And that was Pharaoh's issue right there. He He was in willful sin, lack of repentance, and had a seared conscience. This is interesting. You know this verse. It says, God gives such people over to their sinful desires emanating from a debased, reprobate mind. You remember reading that? Sometimes people get so hard and so cold that God will just say, I'm done. Now you're like, oh no. Well, we can still pray. It doesn't mean you can't pray, but it means he's not getting in there. There's gotta be some change made. Yeah. And, boy, have we seen this in our lifetime. My concern in these days is I think we are actually in the great falling away, which I don't believe is the catching away. I do believe in the catching away, but I don't think that scripture is it. I think the falling away, started happening with COVID. People started leaving the church and didn't come back. Not so much in our church, but in the church in general, people did. You know, we'll just do something else. We don't need to assemble. Of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You feel like you need to, but people got that. Well, we don't need to go to church. I can hang in there. I'm making it a point. I'm going to stick with God no matter what. I know I'm not going to church. I'll watch online every once in a while, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And so people start falling away and then they talk themselves into thinking it's all okay. It's okay. It's okay. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. I can remember over the years, I talked myself into a lot of things. I was good at it. But now I want Holy Spirit to talk me into everything. I want the Word of God to talk me into things. And as we close, I just want to say this to you, and I hope if you got anything tonight, you're going to get this. That word in Hebrews right there gives you the answer of how to stay away from developing a hard heart. The one in Hebrews. You know what I'm talking about, Hebrews 3? I'll tell it to you. Yeah, Deb, preach it. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Today. You get it?
Yeah.
Today. If you today will hear. And if you today will not harden your heart. Well, I just disagree. I disagree. If you will not harden your heart. If you say, I'm not sure yet, but I'm not going to do this. I'm going to take what I heard, and I'm going to ask the Lord about it. Today. See, they hardened their hearts. And we're not going into that promised land. It's dangerous in there. And here's Joshua and Caleb over there. Look at the grapes. Look at everything. It's so great. They're over here. We're not going in. They hardened their heart. How did they harden their heart? God told them they could have it. Isn't it interesting that God tells us we can have all these things?
Wow.
While it is said today, if you will not hear his voice, there's one. Don't harden your hearts as they did in the day of rebellion. To delay trusting in God when you're tested. To delay obeying God when you are ordered. Is to risk developing a hard heart and falling away from the living God. Did you get that?
Yeah.
When you delay trusting.
Yeah.
Now what's happening? God, why aren't you doing something? No, it's not God. If you will immediately trust him, he'll get in the middle of the situation. And then when he tells you to do something, don't delay. Does it feel like some of your promises are delayed? It's because you've delayed. You've sowed that seed. No delay. Just do it. When God, I say when you're ordered, you know what I mean by that. When God asks you to do something, when he commands you to do something, do it. When it comes to dealing with a hard heart, tomorrow is a deceiving, dangerous word.
Yeah.
Well, maybe tomorrow, Lord. Well, maybe tomorrow. Yeah. Well, maybe tomorrow. Well, maybe, now this isn't for y'all, but maybe I'll start going to church tomorrow. Well, maybe I'll start tithing next year. Well, maybe I'll, I know the Lord wanted me to go to that convention, but maybe I'll go next year. Yeah. Well, I know the Lord wanted me to do this, but I'm later. Tomorrow's a dangerous word. Today, if you will hear his voice and not harden your heart, you will stay out of having a hard heart. Just say, yes, Lord. Okay. And then just pray. Like, I don't really know, Lord, exactly what to do, but okay, I'm saying yes. So the first thing I can do is start praying about it. And then you're in, instead of, I'm not doing that. Lord, you're not, I don't know how you could possibly ask me to do that. No. There's a scripture that says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Oh, amen. And that's not a bad confession. Because sometimes when you're entering something new, you don't know what to do. But if your eyes are on him, he's going to show you what to do. That's yeah, right. I can do that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow is a dangerous word. See, you stay tender if you will just quickly answer the Lord. I had the Lord tell me one more thing. I'll have to do a second closing here, but I am done. I'm going to read to you 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to start with, I need to start with 5 because that gives you a little bit better of a picture. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. He can't have anything to do with pride. And gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Mighty hand of God means resourceful strength. So humble yourself, therefore, under the resourceful strength of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, if you go look at the Greek, due time is not a little bit down the road, he'll exalt you. In this particular verse, it actually means in the same season that you place yourself under God's resourceful strength, he'll immediately start working on it. Will you see the answer in the next hour? Maybe, maybe not. But he's working on it in this. Yes. Man, do you feel the Holy Ghost on that? Yeah. In the same season. Yes. As soon as you give it to him, he'll take it from you and start doing something with it.
Yes.
But as long as you're... Now, God, I can handle this part. You just... No, you can't. No, you can't. He has the better answer.
Right.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But he's not going to devour me, because I'm going to cast my care over on the Lord, because I'm going to humble myself under his resourceful strength. I, in my flesh, am no match for the devil. But I in God am way above the enemy. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. So I hope that answered your question. Pharaoh's heart was not hardened by God, except the fact that God was revealing his power, which caused an already hardened heart to become harder. And I think we see that in life. All the time.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for every person listening online and in this building right now. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing. We thank you, Lord, that anointing removes burdens. Mm. It destroys yokes. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, that we are free from pride. Father, we thank you that we're free from it, that we can humble ourselves under your resourceful strength. We refuse pride and to make an idol out of our own selves, thinking we're so grand and great. Father, we know that we're great because of your grace. We're great as children of God, but we're not arrogant about it. We're grateful about it. And so, Lord, we thank you. And tonight, we just received, we receive everything that you have for us. Healing, yes. Prosperity, blessing, strength, joy, peace. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. We take care of that authority that is attached to chaos. In Jesus' name, we send it out to an appointed place and it will not return. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for peace in this church, peace in our families. We thank you, Lord, that we put down and we resist any prideful thoughts that the enemy would try to put in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.